for me on the cross and for my sins? And do I believe that His Spirit lives within me? Yes, I believe that. I know that His Spirit lives within me. But the problem is that these profound, powerful truths too often remain intellectual. They remain in our minds. And it is said that the greatest 12 inches in the world is that of the 12 inches from our brains to our hearts. And if you can relate with that, I believe that the Ephesians could relate with this too. So today we're going to be kind of anchoring our boat in Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. Last time I preached, we had like a malfunction with technology stuff, so I wasn't going to go down that road again of using technology, so I don't even have any slides. But pull out your Bibles, apps, Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. To give you some context, Ephesians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul, who I believe was imprisoned at this time, to the church in Ephesus in Asia Minor. At the time, the church was made up of both Jewish and Gentile believers, and Paul wrote this letter to encourage them and to strengthen them in their faith. And in this portion of the chapter 14 through 21, Paul shares a powerful prayer for the church, highlighting the unconditional and transforming love of Christ. The Ephesians, I believe, were the rock stars, the all-stars of the early church. You see, there's very little rebuke in the letters of Paul to them. But I think that they are at this point ready to wean themselves from the milk, and they are ready to get onto some like heavy chunks of theological meat, some noodles maybe even, in their spiritual formation. So they're ready for some deeper connection with God. And yet the Ephesians are struggling to experience God's love. So this challenge that I have today for us to not only know that God loves us, but to feel that God loves us is as old as Christianity is itself. So if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to read through Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The first thing that stands out to me, and maybe doesn't stand at all, is that Paul is on his knees. He's on his knees in this prayer. And this, to us in modern day Christianity, we hear that we don't even bat an eye. But in the day, being on your knees was actually not something that you customarily did. And there's very few parts of the Bible that actually highlight that they were on their knees. So I believe this posture is quite important. But there are a couple of other places in the Bible where folks were on their knees. Solomon knelt at the dedication of the temple in 1 Kings. Stephen at the time of his martyrdom in Acts 7. Peter at the deathbed of Dorcas in Acts 9. Paul at the time of his farewells on his last journeys to Jerusalem in Acts 20. And our Lord Himself in His agony at Gethsemane in Luke 22. So what are some of our prayer postures that we use? Are you a 7 a.m. morning traffic prayer warrior in traffic on your way to work? Is that your posture? Although highly efficient, if you're an eye closer, it could be kind of risky to those around you. But what are some of the prayer postures that you maybe use? Anybody like to share? Silence is also a prayer posture. So we all got that one down. We all got silence prayer down. No, but like I said, Paul is here on his knees. Like a couple of weeks ago, we lit some frankincense incense, and we had that. That's part of a prayer posture and kind of modeling that aroma, that smell to do it. But Paul is on his knees here. And I believe that at this time, while he's imprisoned, on his knees is a profound passionate prayer that Paul is speaking over the church in Ephesians, in Ephesus. But there's something that is a little odd about the Apostle Paul's prayer. See, he asks that Christ would dwell in our hearts, would take residence, would live in our hearts. He's not just a visitor in our hearts. He'd actually come and be to put up roots, set up shop in our hearts, and that we would know Christ's love, and that we would be filled with God's fullness. He mentioned those three things in his prayer. But what's odd is that in chapters 1 through 3, he really tells us that these things are true. So why now, in this prayer, is he praying so intently, with so much passion, on his knees, when we already have these things in Christ? And I believe that the Ephesians struggled with the same thing we struggle with. It's connecting. They knew these things in their minds, but they weren't experiencing it in their hearts. They hadn't made the connection yet and bridged that gap. And Paul says that Paul prays that we would grasp all God has for us. This word grasp means to wrestle with. So what is Paul asking us in his prayer to wrestle with? Is he asking us to wrestle with ourselves? Is he asking us to wrestle with our souls? With our flesh? With our inner being? With our hearts? Paul is asking us to grasp, to wrestle with Christ's love in our hearts. Ephesians 16 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in your inner being, in your hearts, so that Christ may dwell, live in your hearts through faith. The source of this experience, the difference between connecting our minds and our hearts, is the Holy Spirit entering into our lives. And the source of our experience of God's love is through the Holy Spirit. Tim Keller says, Paul is praying for a spiritual inner sensitivity to gospel truth, that the Holy Spirit may prepare your inner being, your hearts, to wrestle with God's love. This connection, the sensitivity, this yearning, this listening to the Holy Spirit, I believe, is the primary difference between a dry, complacent believer and a warm and passionate one. The Spirit reveals God's word to us in Ephesians 1. It empowers us to live like Christ, Ephesians 3. Enlivens us with resurrection power, Romans 8. Transforms us into Christ's image with increasing glory, 2 Corinthians. It is the Holy Spirit who enables us to taste and to see the Lord is good, in Psalms 34. So how does the Holy Spirit help us to experience this? In Paul's prayer, he says, in the pinnacle where he hits kind of the top, the mountaintop of his prayer, says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people, a community together, to grasp, to wrestle with how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge leaves our minds, that you may be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God. If we want an image to know how much love Jesus has, we just have to measure from his right hand to his left hand on the cross. From as far as the east is to the west, and there's no greater love than to lay your life down for your brothers and sisters. And that's how the Holy Spirit, when we encounter that love, if God wanted Christianity to be a head thing, he would have sent theologians and smart people. He wanted to be a heart thing, so he sent guys like Matt and I, who's smarter than I, but we're still heart people. The cross is where it all boils down to, where the Holy Spirit comes in and shapes our hearts. And when we grab onto that love that is so, so deep, that's where it begins to move from our minds to our hearts. So as we begin to move from our heads to our hearts, Paul describes a combination of knowing and experiencing God's love, and I feel there is a couple of ramen noodles things that we could maybe look at, some instructions there. Firstly, I think we need to find ways to slow down, to find that silence, to find that quiet. Hurrying is my greatest struggle. Even when I do find a few minutes to settle down and to ease into things, my mind is racing constantly. A couple weeks back or a month back or so, practicing the silent prayer that Matt had introduced to us, I lay on my office floor and I set the timer for 5 minutes. It felt like hours. I checked it 3 times to make sure it was actually counting down. It took forever to get through 5 minutes of silence. But yet the hurry quenches the Holy Spirit. Another thing to do that we can start practicing and is to meditate on the Word, to reflect on it. And Paul's prayer is that God would strengthen us with power through His Spirit in our hearts. He's praying that we would have the energy and that we would read the Bible, pray, and wrestle these truths into our hearts. And this is the practice of biblical meditation. And also, I believe next week, chapter 5 of our good and beautiful, maybe said Paul, God, we'll be introduced to that Lectio Divina practice of reading and reflecting the divine reading of Scripture, where we prepare ourselves, you know, whether it's with incense or just taking time to settle our hearts and minds, read the passage, pay attention to what springs out at you, and then reflect on it, read it again, and dive deeper and deeper into what the Holy Spirit is revealing and drawing out of the Scriptures to you. It's not a case of covering ground in the Bible. It's small, small, short reading, and then resting with that and letting God to do His work. In the autobiography of a gentleman by the name of George Mueller, a prayer warrior back in his day, they found this in his journals. I saw that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. The first thing to be concerned about was not how much I might serve the Lord, how I might glorify the Lord, but how I might get my soul in a happy state, and how my inner man might be nourished. Now, what is the food for the inner man? Not prayer, but the Word of God. And here again, not the simple reading of the Word of God, so that it only passes through our minds just as water runs through a pipe, but considering what we read, pondering on it, and applying it to our hearts. So this morning as you walked in, there was some little index cards on your seats there. As you all know me, I like class interaction. I should have been a kindergarten teacher, I guess. All I'd like you to do on those cards now, and also some Sharpies, share the Sharpies. Just write your name and your last name. That's all I'm asking you to do. If we could write that now, and then pass them to the middle of your aisle. Just your name. And your bank account, if you want. Hey, Matt, we're fully funded. All right, pass it to the middle. Now, what I want you to do is to switch them over. So give yours to that side, you to that side, and then hand them back out. You should have somebody else's name in your hand. You may or may not know this person, but you most certainly should not have your own name in your hand. Luckily, the college kids aren't there. There's no scribing on the seats. All right, everybody got somebody else's name? All right, my prayer this week, as we go out this week, is in the morning, when as you set yourself up and as you prepare, you spend time with the Lord, that person that you're holding there, that you would pray for them, that they would connect from their heads to their hearts. And as a community, as we pray for each other, know that other people, somebody else is praying for you. So pray for that person. Pray that the Holy Spirit would enter into their hearts and journey along beside them, because there is no better way to get to this love into our hearts than to pray for each other and to do it together, to slow down, to make time, and to meditate on the Word as you read through the Scriptures. Read through Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, that prayer. Pray that over that person that's in your hand now this week. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you that we can be here with you, Lord. I pray that the Holy Spirit this week would just usher in a new fire in our hearts, that this would begin to transform us from our heads and to our hearts. Take that knowledge that you have given us, that the world knows, and make us different, Lord. Help us to embody it and to shine your light and to be warm, passionate believers of yours. I pray this in your precious name. Amen. So as we prepare for communion, communion is on the back tables there. Houston and Caesar are going to start ushering us in with a song. And when you're ready, we invite you to partake in communion this morning, in the Lord's Supper. The bread representing his body, the wine, his blood, the juice, dip it in there. And know that your sins are forgiven. And as we head to Easter, let this constantly be a reminder of the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross. Amen.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Life in Rhythm podcast. If you'd like to know more about Rhythm Community Church, you can go online at rhythm.community. Peace.